I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular.
Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your life and business coach, making sure that both of those areas are nothing less than spectacular. I have Christian Comore on my show today. Hi, Christian.
Hello. Nice to be here.
All right. Thank you. Let me tell you something about Christian. Christian Comore is a climate innovation advocate, an independent candidate for governor of Colorado, focused on scaling direct air carbon removal as a practical solution to climate changes. His work centers on turning captured carbon into economic opportunity, creating jobs, new industries, and infrastructure while addressing environmental impact. He joins us today to talk about how climate solutions can move beyond regulation and become a driver of real economic growth. That's great. I am really curious to hear about all of this, Christian. Now, you just said that the primary in November is where you're running a race. Why did you decide not only to care so much about the environment, but to get into politics?
Well, I think it started with as many things do, with my mom. She was had this natural connection with the natural world, and was always teaching her children about animals and wildlife and plants and how the ecosystem worked, and so that clearly colored my childhood years. By age 17, I'd written a op-ed on the dangers of at that time in the U.S. We were building lots of roads. There was a lot of concrete going up everywhere, and concrete is the third largest contributor, or has been, to climate carbon in the climate.
Wow.
In the atmosphere. So already at that point, I was getting, I wouldn't say political, but I was getting wanting to share my views. And then when I got to Colorado in 2015, a state I'd always loved, because Colorado is just so, it's such a gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It's got every aspect of nature that you could ask for. Except an ocean.
It more than makes up for it. It is such a beautiful place.
Yes, it is. But I was hiking along the headwaters to the Colorado River, from which 40 million Americans get their drinking water. And I started to notice these strange looking water towers. And as I got closer to them, I realized these were fracking installations.
Oh, my word. Near the water source. Well, tell me what that does to the water source. I want to get back to some of the things you said, but what does that do to both the water source, the soil, the groundwater?
Well, the party line with these fracking installations, which again, are mere a few hundred yards from the Colorado River. The party line was at that time was under Governor Hickenlooper, was that we they could they would use this fracking fluid, which was always kept secret, which was filled with forever chemicals,
Oh.
sometimes even radioactive materials. They would, after they used the fluid, it would they'd leave it encased in concrete, so that it would be safe. Of course, I was thinking at the time, who has ever not seen concrete crack?
Right.
Concrete cracks.
Exactly.
And lo and behold, it did. And we now have large swaths of Colorado that have been contaminated with fracking fluid, including the Colorado River, which now is having increasing amounts found of these chemicals in the water, some of which can be filtered out, some of which can't.
Yeah. And there's so much activity that goes on. I mean, just from a recreational standpoint, not to mention in the Colorado River, not to mention again drinking water.
Yeah, I had someone come up to me a while ago and said she used to love to go rafting in the Colorado River, and she said she won't anymore.
Goodness.
That really got me concerned about how much we're damaging our environment and the long-term consequences. And I started to want to do something. And then I realized that the even more significant damage that we've been doing to the environment has been in greenhouse gas release
Yeah, that.
from, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that looks like that. What is your focus? I mean, you mention it quite a bit. And it sounds like that propelled you into really focusing on the greenhouse gases. Why do you feel it is more deadly than a forever chemical?
And it's not just a feeling,
Yeah.
it's
What do you, the research backed?
yeah, we've got clear scientific understanding. There's a number of greenhouse gases. Carbon is the most significant at this point, although methane is becoming a big issue recently. And maybe a wild card in this whole thing, but we've already got so much carbon in the atmosphere that even if we stopped all greenhouse gas emissions right now, today, there's still enough to drive us into over a tipping point, which is now coming up in the mid 2030s. So really only 7 years from now. And what's happening is the Earth is responding to the heating of the planet caused by the greenhouse gas buildup. The planet is reacting with the formation of feedback cycles. For example, we've already got two of the major ocean currents, which we need to trap to move heat around the planet, that are failing. They haven't failed, but they're in the process of collapsing.
Goodness.
We as ice has been melting at the pole in the polar regions, and permafrost beneath that ice and permafrost, it turns out there's large stores of methane, which is 80% more potent than carbon, even. It
Goodness,
is now
goodness.
being released because of the. So these cycles, and there's about 12 of them, have been activated, are all of them in process. And by the mid 2030s, they will become more significant than any of the, even if we continue with human greenhouse gas emissions as we've been going, they will become more significant, and we won't be able to do anything about it.
And
We can stop our own greenhouse gas emissions. We can't stop these. If an ocean current changes, there's nothing we can do about it.
What would, we are heading there. You're saying there's not a lot we can do. What do you expect to see as a result of the ocean current changes, the potential release of methane and more carbon in the 20s and 30s that we're coming on? I mean, we're already, about 2026, so we're really heading there.
Yep, and we're already starting to see, an increase in wildfires, flooding, aberrant storms that are larger and larger. They're going to have to be adding new categories to the size of hurricanes to describe them. It's possible we will get to the point where major storms will be so significant that they're able to dismantle the infrastructure of large cities.
Goodness.
So it's going to get very, very difficult for humans to survive. The prediction is that by the end of this century, the computer modeling is saying that we will lose 70 to 75% of the species that are currently existing on the planet, and that includes us.
Goodness.
If you can
So
imagine.
I don't want to imagine. I'm a lot like your mom in that I spend a lot of time in nature and enjoying every creature I see. Because this is so significant, we're heading into more and more danger with our weather systems and heat and everything. Why aren't people listening? People meaning governments, people who could actually make a difference, like the EPA, etc.
The human beings are, we're kind of hardwired to respond to immediate threats. If a family member says, comes up with medical tests that are bad, we respond. If the gas prices take a jump, we react. Long-term threats, we're not very good at. Pearl Har We needed Pearl Harbor here in the United States to actually get us into World War II. And by that time, the Nazis had advanced to the dangers were U-boats were off our shores. People didn't want to face a long-term, less visible threat. We can read about it in the news and it seems distant. So one of the things that I really try to get across is our timeline is very short, super short. In 4 years, when the next gubernatorial election cycle comes around, I won't be trying to run. At that point, our team will, we consider it, it'll be too late. There won't be enough time to scale up a
Goodness.
response. At this point, there's that we can still respond, not in the way that most people are thinking. Most people are thinking, gee, if I plant some trees or I buy an electric car, I'm doing my part and I hope that other people are too, and then maybe something will happen. Right now you can forget about that. It's too late. We already have 900 gigatons of carbon in the atmosphere.
Goodness.
Doesn't matter if we stop emissions right now.
Well, let's jump into something that is more positive. And I think your mic just
Yes.
went out. You may want to get closer to your mic, or you are mapping out that, working with carbon can be a trillion-dollar industry and really boost our economy. I'm going to go both national wide and global wide. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little. Give me some good news here, Christian.
Yep, and there is good news. And thank you for steering us to that part of things. Otherwise, I wouldn't be running for governor. I don't really want to be a politician. I don't want to. I don't enjoy the thought of running government. I've done enough consulting with the White House and Congress that it's not a palatable idea. But miraculously, the universe has presented us with a solution to this dilemma we've been discussing this morning. We have the capability to actually remove carbon from the atmosphere. For the last 15 years, small companies actually have fielded carbon removal plants. They're called direct air carbon removal plants. And there's about a dozen of them around the world. They're small, so they would take 26 million years to remove enough carbon to do us any good. So,
26 million, okay.
yeah. So, what we need to do is we need to greatly upscale what this technology and so it's no longer a discussion. Can we save ourselves? We absolutely can. The question is only one of time. Can we do this quickly enough? Well, now along come these hyper data centers supporting frontier class AI. And the data centers are hungry for energy and water. And so states like Colorado are very wary about letting them into their state. Well, it turns out if you put one of these hyper data centers next to a carbon capture plant, a couple of magical things happen. The carbon capture plant creates chemical called R744. And R744 acts as a cooling lubricant, which can cool the data chips so that these plants don't need to have water in huge amounts to cool the data chips. In addition, any excess heat from that process can be used by the carbon removal plant. Heat is needed to, as the carbon is drawn into the plant, to by big fans to affix the carbon to what's called a sorbent that it is part of the process. So we can use the heat from the data center in the carbon removal plant. Then it gets even better. We circle this campus with in Colorado. We have lots of geothermal energy. We've got lots and lots of wind energy, even more because of climate change. We've got lots of solar energy. We take the plant, the campus, completely off the civic grid, so it doesn't need to draw energy away from the rest of Colorado. And at the same time is demonstrating how powerful alternative energy can be, further bringing it into the mainstream.
So,
And then it gets even better.
it gets even better than that. I mean, I'm jumping up and down here.
Even better. Next to the Hyper Data Center and the Director Carbon Plant, we place a Sky Carbon Production Center. When we remove carbon from the atmosphere, it's basically like mining the air. We can create products from that carbon. We can create sustainable aviation fuels. We can create sustainable fertilizers. We can create green polymers, including biodegradable plastics.
Oh, great.
And we can create actual structural materials for building roads, bridges, buildings. Lots of things we can create with the carbon, all of which are carbon neutral for the environment. And then that will create us. We're thinking one plant can create on the order of 50,000 jobs
Wow.
downstream when everything transport, everything is included. So we would also have this amazing return on investment
Absolutely.
and jobs.
So, everything sounds so marvelous. It's like the magic unicorn that has flown in and said, "This is the problem. Here's a marvelous solution." Why aren't people moving on this? I mean, in my mind, if for the people that are building the data centers, it almost seems like yes, and you must build a carbon capture plant with that. It's bottom line, and I know, I'm being ignorant here and saying yes, but it'll cost more money, but not in the long term. Are people actually moving forward with setting up these ideas in addition to yourself?
We are just at the cutting edge. no one, and I keep my ears to the ground and my eyes open, and I read the research literature all the time. So far, no one is thinking big like this. We will be hearing about this a lot in 10, 15 years.
When, as you said, things are really getting drastic,
It's
getting our attention, in other words.
right. And by that point, it's too late. So the trick here is, will people inform themselves? Now I'm a regular guy. I was trained as a psychologist, had a career as a psychologist, finally had enough time to devote myself to getting well educated in the environment and what was going on with climate change. But I'm just a regular guy. Regular people can inform themselves. And that's what we need to have happen. And we need to have it happen quickly. We're
Absolutely.
not, the last time I was in Washington, meeting with congressional representatives, I visited almost 100 offices. Everyone was saying, well, we need a climate Pearl Harbor. We need something
Oh no.
really horrible to
Oh
happen.
no.
But that's not the way climate
Yeah.
change occurs. As we can see, what's happening is there's just kind of this gradual increase, like the old story of the frog staying in the pot of boiling water.
Right. Doesn't feel it right away, but it slowly creeps up on them. Well, let me ask you this. I'm hearing, I was going to say, what can people do? You're saying educate themselves, pray for you for the November primary in Colorado. I think that would be good. Who can we write to? I'm in California. Who would I be writing to? My congressperson saying, consider these ideas and maybe have your name and a website to have discussion or to get information. What can we do in this moment?
There is a there's a back in 2016 when Donald Trump took us out of the Paris Climate Accords, a group of governors, about 20 states, got together and formed the U.S. Climate Alliance, of which California is part of.
Thankfully.
Our intention would be, as I become elected governor here, and we start and we build this facility that we're talking about, that other states in the alliance, we will be encouraging them to follow suit. If we get about 20 states, coincidentally the number in the alliance, all doing this director of carbon removal, then it's not 26 million years, it's we'll actually be on a trajectory to beat that mid 2030s tipping level.
Great.
So at this point, we can do it. What can individual people do? Not much in terms of their changes in lifestyle or energy consumption habits, but right, that will be true in the future. We obviously need to move to sustainability, so that'll be important in the future. Right now, what we need people to do is press their elected representatives, anyone who's talking about direct air carbon removal, get behind them, and use the power that we have as Americans to vote. That's the power that people have. So it's kind of good news. You don't need to break out a shovel and spend all day digging. But what you got to do is you got to talk to your friends. You got to tell them what you've learned about direct air carbon removal. Go to our website, read more about it, and then vote.
Great. What website would you recommend that they can go to after listening to this podcast?
We're at K, the letter K, the number 4, GOV. So K4GOV.com.
Great, and that's comoreforgovernment.com. And
Yep.
they can find out more information from there about, we have just barely touched and scratched the surface on a complex topic, but I feel that at least most people can understand what we're talking about and potentially moving forward.
Yep, we've got hundreds of pages of information
Great.
that people who are more scientifically minded can drink that up.
Well, Christian, I am just thrilled that we've had this discussion. We are putting it out there, and that you are running. You are taking the chance to say, "Hey, I want to make a big difference in the state of Colorado, which may influence other states to really follow suit." It's been great to talk.
Been really great to talk to you. Thank you for helping to share this information.
My pleasure. Well, wishing you best of luck. And may your following voters' influence grow exponentially.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people.